Hi, this is Anne Merchant, and welcome to The Sounds of Science, the podcast brought to you by the National Academy of Sciences, the National Academy of Engineering, the Institute of Medicine, and the National Research Council, collectively known as the National Academies. Almost everyone in the modern world takes medication at one time or another. According to one estimate, in any given week, 4 out of every 5 U.S. adults will use prescription medicines, over-the-counter drugs, or dietary supplements of some sort. And nearly 1/3 of adults will take 5 or more different medications. Most of the time, these medications are beneficial, or at least they cause no harm. But on occasion, they do injure the person taking them. Some of these adverse drug events, or ADEs, as injuries due to medication are generally called, are inevitable. The more powerful a drug is, the more likely it is to have harmful side effects, for instance. But sometimes, the harm is caused by an error in prescribing or taking the medication, and these damages are not inevitable. They can be prevented. Against this background, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services requested that the Institute of Medicine study the prevalence of such medication errors and formulate a national agenda for reducing these errors. The resulting report, Preventing Medication Errors, finds that medication errors are surprisingly common and costly to the nation, and it outlines a comprehensive approach to decreasing the prevalence of these errors. This approach will require changes from doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and others in the healthcare industry, from the Food and Drug Administration and other government agencies, and from hospitals and other healthcare organizations, and from patients. In hospitals, errors are common during every step of the medication process, procuring the drug, prescribing it, dispensing it, administering it, and monitoring its impact. But they occur most frequently during the prescribing and administering stages. When all types of errors are taken into account, a hospital patient can expect, on average, to be subjected to more than one medication error each day. However, substantial variations in error rates are found across facilities. An ADE arising from an error is considered preventable, but it's difficult to get an accurate measurement of how often preventable ADEs occur. One study estimated 380,000 preventable ADEs in hospitals each year, and another estimated 450,000. The committee believes that both are likely to be underestimates. The numbers are equally disturbing in other settings. One study calculates, for example, that 800,000 preventable ADEs occur each year in long-term care facilities. Another finds that among outpatient Medicare patients, there occur 530,000 preventable ADEs each year. And the evidence suggests that both of these numbers are likely to be underestimates as well. Furthermore, none of these studies includes errors of omission, failures to prescribe medication in cases where it should be. Taking all of these numbers into account, the committee concludes that there are at least 1.5 million preventable ADEs that occur in the United States each year, and that the true number may be much higher. These medication errors are undoubtedly costly to patients, to their families, their employers, and to hospitals, healthcare providers, and insurance companies. But there are few reliable estimates of that cost. One study found that each preventable ADE that took place in a hospital added about $8,750, that's in $2,006, to the cost of the hospital stay. Assuming 400,000 of these events each year, a conservative estimate, the total annual cost would be $3.5 billion in this one group. Another study looked at preventable ADEs in Medicare enrollees aged 65 and older. They found an annual cost of $887 million for treating medication errors in this group. Unfortunately, these studies cover only some of the medication errors that occur each year in this country, and they look only at some of their costs. They don't take into account lost earnings, for example, or any compensation for pain and suffering. What's most striking about these statistics is that much of the harm is preventable, since a variety of strategies and techniques already exist for reducing medication errors. Many of these approaches have already been tested and shown to work in practice, while others seem promising, but will require further development. Given this situation, the committee concluded that the current state of affairs is not acceptable, and it recommended a series of steps that should be taken to prevent medication errors. The first step is to allow and encourage patients to take a more active role in their own medical care, In the past, the nation's healthcare system has generally been paternalistic and provider-centric. Patients haven't been expected to be involved in the process. But one of the most effective ways to reduce medication errors, the report concludes, is to move toward a model of healthcare where there's more of a partnership between the patients and the healthcare providers. Patients should understand more about their medications and take more responsibility for monitoring those medications, while providers should take steps to educate, consult with, and listen to the patients. To make this new model of healthcare work, a number of things must be done. Doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and other providers must communicate more with patients at every step of the way and make that communication a two-way street, listening to the patient as well as talking to them. They should inform their patients fully about the risks, contraindications, and possible side effects of the medications they're taking and what to do if they experience a side effect. They should also be more forthcoming when medication errors have occurred and explain what the consequences have been. Patients or their surrogates should in turn take a more active role in the process. They should learn to keep careful records of all the medications they're taking and take greater responsibility for monitoring those medications. So, for example, they can double-check prescriptions from pharmacies and report any unexpected changes in how they feel after starting a new medication. The healthcare system also needs to do a better job of educating patients and of providing ways for patients to educate themselves. Patients should be given opportunities to consult about their medications at various stages in their care, during consultation with the providers who prescribe their medications, at discharge from the hospital, at the pharmacy, at every turn. And there needs to be a concerted effort to improve the quality and the accessibility of information about medications provided to consumers. The committee recommends that the Federal Drug Administration, the National Library of Medicine, and other government agencies work together to standardize and improve the medication information leaflets provided by pharmacies. They need to make more and better drug information available over the internet. And they need to develop a 24-hour national telephone helpline that offers consumers easy access to drug information. A second important step in reducing the number of medication errors will be to make greater use of information technologies in prescribing and dispensing medications. Doctors, nurse practitioners, and physician assistants, for example, can't possibly keep up with all the relevant information available on all the medications they might prescribe. But with today's information technologies, they don't have to. By using point-of-care reference information, typically accessed over the internet or from personal digital assistants, prescribers can obtain detailed information about the particular drugs they prescribe and get help in deciding which medications to prescribe. Even more promising is the use of electronic prescriptions, or e-prescriptions. By writing prescriptions electronically, doctors and other providers can avoid many of the mistakes that accompany handwritten prescriptions, as the software ensures that all the necessary information is filled out and is legible. Furthermore, by tying e-prescriptions in with the patient's medical history, it's possible to check automatically for such things as drug allergies, drug-drug interactions, and overly high doses. In addition, once an e-prescription is in the system, it will follow the patient from hospital to the doctor's office or from the nursing home to the pharmacy, avoiding many of the handoff errors common today. In light of all this, the committee recommends that by 2010, all prescribers and pharmacies be using e-prescriptions. More generally, all healthcare suppliers should seek to become high-reliability organizations preoccupied with improving medication safety. To do this, they'll have to take advantage of the latest information technologies and the most up-to-date organizational and management strategies. They'll also need to put effective internal monitoring programs in place. This will allow them to determine the incidence rates of ADEs more accurately and provide a way of measuring their progress toward improved medication safety. Another way to reduce medication errors is to ensure that drug information is communicated clearly and effectively to providers and patients. Some errors occur simply because two different drugs have names that look or sound very similar. With this in mind, the committee recommends that the drug industry and the appropriate federal agencies work together to improve drug nomenclature, including not just drug names, but also abbreviations and acronyms. At the same time, the information sheets that accompany drugs should be redesigned, taking into account research that identifies the best methods for communicating information about medications. Reducing preventable ADEs will demand the attention and active involvement of everyone involved. The federal government should, for example, pay for and coordinate a broad research effort aimed at learning more about preventing medication errors. Various regulatory agencies should encourage the adoption of practices and technologies that will reduce medication errors, and accreditation agencies should require more training in medication management practices. The committee believes that the effort will pay off in far fewer medication errors and preventable adverse drug events, far less harm done to patients by medications, and far less cost to the nation's economy. For more information on preventing medication errors, please contact the National Academies Press, toll-free at 1-800-624-6242. The full text of this report is available online at nap.edu. This study was supported by funds from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. The Institute of Medicine serves as advisor to the nation to improve health. Established in 1970 under the charter of the National Academy of Sciences, the Institute of Medicine provides independent, objective, evidence-based advice to policymakers, health professionals, the private sector, and the public. For more information about the Institute of Medicine, visit the IOM homepage at www.iom.edu. The Committee on Identifying and Preventing Medication Errors was co-chaired by J. Lyle Bootman, Dean and Professor at the University of Arizona College of Pharmacy, and by Linda R. Cronenwet, Professor and Dean, School of Nursing at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. My name is Anne Merchant, and you've been listening to The Sounds of Science, the podcast brought to you by the National Academies, advisors to the nation on science, engineering, and medicine. Be sure to visit us at our website at nationalacademies.org, where we have more than 3,000 books and publications available full text to read free online.